Good morning, and welcome to our service of worship this morning. How good it is to enter into the presence of our Lord and offer God our praise and thanksgiving on this day, for God is good and greatly to be praised. As you were coming into the worship space this morning, there were lots of announcements for you on the screen, so you want to come to church early so that you get all of them, because there's lots of things going on in the next little while. So do make note of all of those things as you come in, or for those who join us on the live stream as they are gathering in the morning as well. The announcements appear before them. There is a bulletin insert with a couple of two sides. First, we have, and so it's a couple, these are kind of a summary of our many events on the white side, and I forgot one already, so these are the in-house things, but we are doing a ecumenical quiet Christmas service again this year on the 20th of December at, I think the time is 3:30. It'll be in here next week, so you've got time to plan for it, but we're doing that service ecumenically, as I mentioned, with our brothers and sisters at Trinity Anglican and the Knox St. Paul's United, and the service this year is at Knox St. Paul's on the 20th, so more information on that service will appear next week, but do take this home, stick it on your fridge. Well, don't stick this one, stick next week's, because it's going to have the Quiet Christmas on it, but to remind you of all of those things that are going on, then we draw your attention especially to two things. First, the WE event, WE Expectations, which is an intergenerational event coming up next on Friday evening. This coming Friday, December the 1st at 6 p.m. in the lower hall. We'll have a meal followed by some kind of study and activity and crafts to look at the texts around the expectations that come along with the season of Advent. So do plan to be part of that. And if you are planning to come, let us know by tomorrow, because we have to have food and things enough for those who are going to be there. So if you can let us know by tomorrow, that will help in our preparation for that event. And another one, just because it's kind of it's a new old event. Looking down in the archives a while ago, I discovered that for many, many years, throughout the 1950s, the 1960s, and most of the 1970s, St. John's had a community carol service on the last Sunday before Christmas. And then I think it went ecumenical for a few years, so it left us, it seemed like a good thing to bring back. So we're going to try to resurrect the community carol service on December the 17th this year at 7 p.m. So mark that on your calendars, plan to attend, tell your neighbors, tell your friends. It'll be a wonderful evening of singing carols and hearing once more the story of the birth of Christ. As we prepare for Advent and Christmas, we're trying to recruit a few people to help increase the numbers of the choir. We will be meeting this morning for our first rehearsal in the choir room, which is on the lower level, right after worship this morning. So those who wish to participate, sneak a quick cup of coffee or something on your way down the stairs, and we look forward to seeing you in the choir room shortly after the close of worship. And finally, if you missed them earlier as you were coming in, the offering envelopes for 2024 are available in the McClellan Room right over here on this side of the McClellan Room. If you don't have a set of offering envelopes and would like a set, if you would contact the church office or speak to me, we will make sure that you get a set. As we enter God's sanctuary this morning, we light the Christ candle, reminding us that Christ is the light of the world and that we are people of light and that in him there is no darkness. This morning's call to worship is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord this morning and say together the call to worship. Come, let us give thanks to God.
We give thanks for the gift of warm bread and the joy of gathering around a table together.
Come, let us give thanks to God.
We give thanks to all the times God has made a way out of no way, providing for us in body and spirit just when we need it.
Come, let us give thanks to God.
We give thanks for the ways God weaves us together as a community of love and care, supporting one another in the ebbs and flows of daily life.
Let us come into God's presence with grateful praise.
Come, let us worship God together. Amen.
Let us come to God this morning in our prayers of approach. Let us pray. God of healing and transformation, we hunger and thirst for your abundant life. We bring you our sorrow and ask for the bread of joy. We bring you our despair and ask for the bread of hope. We bring you our weariness and ask for the bread of inspiration. Meet us here. We need the bread of heaven to sustain us as we journey to find our way, that we may be one with you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And our opening hymn for this morning is 298. Glory be to God the Father. Hymn 298 in the Book of Praise, or as it appears before you on the screen. Please be seated. Our Lord has said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hangs all the law and the prophets." As God has instructed us in these two great commandments, and because we have not lived in full obedience, let us now confess our sins to God, trusting Christ as our Savior and our Lord. Let us pray. We talk about how little we have, and do not recognize the abundance we have when we share. We allow resources and gifts to be wasted in our neighborhoods instead of valuing and preserving the smallest fragments the world so often casts aside. We rush about life, attempting to do everything on our own, instead of being grateful for all the ways we love and support one another. We grumble about all that is going wrong, instead of approaching you with gratitude and trust that you will provide. Forgive us, we pray. Free us to live as your grateful people. Amen. Friends, receive the good news. God's love is never failing. The same Christ who commanded his disciples to gather leftover bread and fish so that nothing would be lost has not overlooked or forgotten you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we have been forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. We once more continue in praise as we sing the hymn, God Who Made the Earth, 705 in the Book of Praise or on the screens. Claire, if you come up and talk to me this morning, I'll make it worth your while. Come on out. Good morning. How are you, Claire? I'm good, thank you. You're the youngest person in the room today, so I need your help. Do you take your own lunch to school? Yeah? Do you make your own lunch for school? Or does mom make it for you? Sometimes mom makes it for her? Yeah, good, good. My mom makes my lunch when I come to work, too. It's nice to have a mom. She's over there. The girls make their own lunches, but mom makes mine. So that's always nice. We have a story today in worship about lunch. So we're all going to leave hungry this morning, and maybe not. It's a small lunch. Guess what's in lunch? Two and... See, they know what's in lunch. You must have heard the story before. Two loaves and five fish. It's the story of the boy who brings his lunch and shares it. And so we always share that. Do you trade lunch? Not a thing? Every now and then in school, you used to trade lunch, right? Everybody else? Anybody else trade lunch? You got a sandwich that just, yeah, no, wasn't doing it. Flakes of ham. Nope, not doing flakes of ham this morning. But your friend has egg salad. Oh, I'm never sure about an egg salad sandwich. It's gone to school myself. But right, we do a little trade. We do a little share. And everybody gets happy. Or maybe somebody's got a couple of cookies and they can share a couple of cookies. Every now and then on Wednesday, I go and I share lunch with the ladies. And every now and then, if I'm really lucky, they give me pie. Doesn't happen often, which is good because I sure don't need that pie, but it sure is good. So our story today is all about our gospel lesson is about that young boy and about sharing and the importance of that sharing in that story. So we'll have to listen for that, right? And because you came up this morning, I have something to share with you. If you'd like to take one of those, you can take one.
Thank you.
And you can eat it and enjoy it after church. All right? You're welcome. And thank you for coming up because the story just wouldn't have been the same without you. Thank you. And if I get one of those small chocolate bars in my lunch, it's a good day. I didn't bring enough for everybody. I'm sorry. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, your word is food for our souls. As we hear your scripture this day, may we be strengthened in faith and love, that we may become your gospel people. Amen.
The first reading from the Old Testament, Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 to 16. For thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will sort them out. As shepherds sort out their flocks when they are among scattered sheep, so I will sort out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the watercourses and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture of the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strays, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. Responsive reading, Psalm 100. The words will appear on the screen. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth.
Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing.
Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise.
Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. And from the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may perceive what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
Our hymn is number 672. Jesus calls us o'er the tumult. Number 672. And our gospel reading for this morning is taken from the gospel according to John. Big surprise. Chapter 6, reading verses 5 to 23, which is the story of a boy and his lunch. When he looked up and saw the large crowd coming to him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" And Philip said to him, he said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, who was Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. And then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that are left over, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is coming into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force and make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you're looking at the screen, this is the third sermon title for this sermon. If you're looking at the bulletin, that was the first sermon title for this sermon. This one's a better title. The second one was, you know, it was getting there. What could possibly happen? Josh and his older brother were even more excited than normal on that morning, as their mother tried to get them ready for their day and their next great adventure. It was not unusual for the boys and the other neighborhood kids to disappear for hours at a time, playing hide-and-go-seek amongst the olive trees, catching frogs, or generally just splashing around in the small stream behind their house, or chasing each other through the narrow streets in between the houses. But today was going to be special. Today they were going to go all the way to the other side of town and down to the shore where the fishers washed their nets. The boys had heard that something special, someone special was passing through, and they had begged and pestered their mother until she finally relented. And so long as Josh stayed with his older brother and with the older kids, then they could go. Even some of their neighbors were going out to see what was going on. What could possibly happen? Finally, Josh and his brother stopped squirming long enough that their mother was able to get them dressed for the day, and then they burst out the door and into the street, and almost immediately were engulfed by the crowd. Families and old people, housewives and slaves, businessmen who had shut their shops for the day. Everyone seemed to be headed out of town. And off went the boys on their adventure, with nothing but their little lunch carefully wrapped in a cloth bag. Some of the other people, they had nothing other than their walking stick. Some had other small bundles of food with them. Finally, Josh and his brother and all of their friends, they arrived at the seaside. And it was filled with people for as far as the eye could see. And while everyone was jostling, trying to get that good place to sit, no one bothered with a group of boys that were darting in between their legs. And then everything went quiet, as in the distance a man began to speak. And the boys were able to dart and to crawl all the way to the very front. And there they saw Jesus, seated on a big rock. Everyone else seated around him, he spoke about justice and of a God who loved the people with a never-ending love. He spoke about how to be kind and how the least would be first in the kingdom of God. And Josh thought, that must be a wonderful place to live. Eventually, one of Josh's friends, Benjamin, who lived just 2 doors down from him, said in a voice that was just a little bit too loud, "I'm hungry." Several people in the crowd went, "Shh." but others giggled. Even the special man, Jesus, he looked at Benjamin, and he laughed too. And then he said, "I'm hungry too." And he turned to one of his followers and he said, "Philip, do you have any food for these people?" The man he spoke to turned white. And he shook his head and he started to stutter. He didn't have anything. But Josh did. And he reached out and he tugged on the sleeve of another of Jesus' followers, the one that was closest to him, and he offered him his boy's lunch of two loaves and five fish wrapped up in a small piece of cloth by his mother. The man took him to Jesus and showed him the lunch. But what would that do amongst so many people? Jesus told them all to sit. Gave thanks for two loaves and five fish. And told his followers to give it away. But really, what could possibly happen? Reading this story from John's Gospel this week, I had a thought. Well, perhaps I had a couple of thoughts. It was a good week. Who was this boy who sneaks into the pages of John's Gospel like a boy crawling between the legs of people in a crowd? Who is there, who is there one moment and then is gone the next? We don't even know his name. And what is he doing here in this story, alone? Surely his parents didn't let him go off by himself. Surely there must have been somebody else keeping an eye on him in the midst of that big crowd, an aunt or a neighbor or maybe a group of friends. And if this one little boy had a lunch, why didn't everybody else? Why didn't someone else? So what if the answers to all these questions what if all of the answers were the answers that we expect? That he really wasn't alone. That surely others must have come prepared on that day. Sometimes Scripture leaves for us space. Space to wonder. Space to question. Space to reflect on what we might do if we were in the story. We live in a world, pardon me, we live in a world that chases after more and more stuff. I probably don't need to tell you that. For the past 2 weeks, the flyers have been coming into your mailbox, haven't they? Advertising Black Friday deals. Even though Black Friday really is an American thing, it's not ours. But Black Friday has become a worldwide phenomenon. It's a marketing campaign. Even in England, they advertise Black Friday sales. It's not their thing either. But it is all about consumerism, all about the chase for more. It is the reminder that we don't share very well. We don't do a good job of being charitable to others. That's kind of foreign to our nature. And that is what makes the gospel message that we read about God's love and the kingdom of justice and peace so compelling. It was compelling in the days of Jesus when the people came out into the wilderness to hear Jesus. And it's compelling even today, as we continue to enter into places like this and away from the constant striving of the world that is out there, to hear that maybe, just maybe, there is more to life than the endless pursuit of the next great thing. The next great iPhone, or whatever might happen to be in fashion as far as hemlines or necklines this year. Perhaps, there's enough to share. If only we could change our hearts enough to share it. Perhaps the miracle that we read of in the text this morning is not that Jesus and our young friend Joshua feed 5,000. But perhaps the miracle is that Jesus and our young friend Josh change the hearts of 5,000 people. And might that not be an even greater miracle than simply multiplying bread and fish? Scripture leaves spaces. And so I will leave you that question to ponder on your own. Homework for the rest of the afternoon. But whatever the miracle is, whether it be a change in the substance of bread or a change in the heart of those who brought the bread with them, whatever the miracle, John goes on to record that Jesus takes this small lunch, a boy's lunch of bread and fish. And then Jesus lifts it and gives thanks to God and shares it with the crowd. Central to the story is gratitude. Jesus gives thanks for the gift. He doesn't devalue it because it is small. He doesn't question it whether or not it will be enough. Jesus takes it and gives thanks for what it is. A gentle and generous offering to God. And I think we can assume that is the attitude with which this gift is given to. Because that is always the attitude that lies behind our sharing. The young boy in the story didn't think about the size of his gift, just that he had something and he could share it with another. What could possibly happen? We come in worship today on this, the last day of the church year, and we arrive at this moment of anticipatory fulfillment. We acknowledge today that Jesus came into the world. He came to the crowd that we read about today. He continues to come to us, holding out for us a vision of a new world and a promise. The promise that Christ will come again. As people of faith, we live in this moment of anticipation. For we know the promise, and we know the one who has given it. And so we wait, and we expect that it will come true. Our faith teaches that there is nothing in the world that has greater value. There's nothing that is of such value that it cannot be used for the kingdom of God, because God has given to us the greatest of all possible gifts. God gave us his Son, Jesus Christ, that we might have reconciliation. And as a result of that, we live in utter gratitude. There is nothing else that we can do. It is a gift that has been freely given. And all we can do is accept it and rejoice. Part of that rejoicing is then to live in gratitude with others, to share what we have so that others might too know joy, the joy of Christ and the joy of Christ's mercy. That vision will be ours too. A vision of justice and a right sharing of the world's resources. We're not quite there yet. But we can see it. We see it in a small lunch of 5 loaves and 2 fish. We see it anytime the people of God gather together and commit their lives to the following of Jesus and reach out to meet the needs of our world. We cannot accept the gospel and remain unchanged. Hidden at the bottom of the page in the book of praise is a verse. We sing the hymn from time to time, "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the King of Glory died." But do you know the words of the last verse? The hymn writer ends the hymn with these words. "Were the whole realm of nature mine, that would be a present far too small. Love, so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." We cannot hear the story of Jesus. We cannot gaze upon the cross and not be changed. For we have received the greatest gift of all. All that is left for us to do is to receive it and then to live in gratitude because of it. And if that were so, what could possibly happen? Thanks be to God. Amen. Because a little boy shared his bread and fish, a multitude ate. Let us then share what we have been given, that others may likewise share in our abundance. Let us now present our tithes and offerings to the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, we rejoice with thanksgiving for all that we have received. Multiply the gifts we bring so that the world may more deeply know the fullness of life that you have came to offer. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Sovereign God, we come to you acknowledging that every good and perfect gift comes from you. We give you thanks for the gift of life and for those traits and talents that make us unique. Truly, we are wonderfully made, and you call us to praise you with our whole being. Body, mind, and spirit. We thank you for the wonder of our created being. Each drubbing of our heart, each in and out of breath, all happening without our thinking, ensuring the gift of life goes on. We thank you for your watchful care, a reminder that nothing escapes your careful observation. Even the hairs on our head are numbered and known to you. We pray for those whose bodies are troubled this day through illness or chronic pain. Be near to them to give them comfort and peace. And we pray for scientists and doctors who search for treatments and cures. Bless their work that we might enjoy life in all its fullness. We thank you for our intellect, the creativity and imagination that allows us to hypothesize the farthest galaxies or the most minute piece of DNA within, but also which moves our hearts to create great art or compose the most beautiful music. May we never grow complacent of the wonder all around us and within us. And may we grow in our appreciation of the patterns and shapes in all things. We thank you for the gift of the Spirit that dwells within us, revealing to us the fullness of your love and guiding us in paths of faith. May we never lose sight of the wonder of your creative hand all around us, nor fail to give you praise. We pray for the church, this congregation, the congregations of our city, and the church around the world. May we proclaim your loving kindness and fulfill our calling to put love into action, working on behalf of the oppressed and those who are in need. In all things, most gracious God, give us eager and longing hearts as we await the coming of your kingdom. Until then, keep us constant in prayer, praying in the manner that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 651 in the Book of Praise, Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer, or the words as they appear before you on the screen. Go now, giving thanks for all that God has done and all that God is doing in your life, in this community, and around the world. May we be surprised by grace as gratitude opens us to recognize God's abundant provision all around us. And may you go knowing that the God of peace goes with you, blessing and guiding you each and every day. That the Christ, our Redeemer, continues to intercede on your behalf, and that the Spirit dwells within you, giving you understanding, wisdom, and knowledge to face each day. Amen.